Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It is amazing how these things go viral, isn't it? I think it's a giant distraction. It's part of the reason why. It's my theory anyway. Everybody loves a good distraction. When these things go viral like that, and then it gives us something to talk about that's not political, something that everybody can agree on, for the most part, anyway. But I'm not sure if everybody agrees on they made the right call in stopping the Eagles game last week, though. Because I heard Bill Maher on Friday say they should not have. Rain is part of football, and they should have let the game go, and oh, boo friggity hoo over lightning. So that was interesting. We'll talk about that as the show goes on today. Plus, there is a question regarding, well, I mean, there's lots of questions today, but there's a real question regarding the climate change hysteria. Are the seas rising? That's not really a question. The answer is no, they're not. Do research out, actual research, not hysteria, but data. And the research shows the seas are not rising, not nearly the way the left has prognosticated and set their hair on fire. Which is not surprising, because you think about it. All these homes that are by the Jersey Shore and other coastal places, don't you always wonder how all these underwriting companies, insurance companies, and banks would give loans and would underwrite these homes if they're about to be underwater? Well, new data today shows that, once again, the climate hysterics have gotten it wrong. But let's begin, shall we, with the Supreme Court's ruling that just came out today. And we'll talk to Will Chamberlain about this a little bit later in the show. Will, of course, is with the excellent group, the Article 3 Project. And he's an expert on all these constitutional legal issues. So I'm sure he's very happy with the decision by the Supreme Court. It was Justice Sonia Sotomayor who wrote for the dissent. It was a 6-3 ruling, basically saying that this is not America. But it's ICE doing deportations, and the question of what would be probable cause to detain somebody, meaning that they couldn't speak English. I think that that's probably okay. Look, if I was in any other country on the planet, because I only speak English, with the exception of England or Australia, where they speak English, and other countries that speak English, the biggest way to know that I don't belong there is the fact that I don't speak their language. So if the whatever federal police force, say it was Italy, and they had reason to believe that I was not one of their citizens, even though I could get my Italian citizenship since my grandfather was born in Italy, but the immobiliare came up to me and started conversing in Italian, and I looked at him and I said, Gabagool, and And then they realized within 30 seconds that I don't know how to speak actual Italian, that all I know is bastardized American Italian, and all I know is food and a couple of curse words. That's it. They would conclude very quickly that I am not an Italian citizen. And then they would do further exploration of that to determine whether or not I am an Italian citizen or not. Maybe I've gotten my citizenship and whether I'm in the country legally. But that would be kind of the basis of a preliminary conversation. But we've taken it for granted in this country that so many people don't speak English that we just assume that it's perfectly fine. But isn't it kind of a tell if you can't speak English that you may not be in this country legally? Yes, it's a tell. You could be bilingual and you could choose not to speak English. But if you can't speak the language, it probably means you just got here. Because most people will assimilate into a language pretty quickly if they live in a place. You start picking it up. I mean, even on vacation. By the end of the week, you're pretty good in terms of at least conversing on just kind of cursory stuff and saying hello and how's your day and things like that and, you know, ordering breakfast. But if you're in a place long enough, you pick up how to communicate pretty frequently. So if you can't speak the language and you're in a country, it's a tell that you probably don't belong there legally, and you may have even just gotten there. There's nothing wrong with you choosing to be bilingual or trilingual or quadruple lingual. And there's nothing wrong with you even choosing just to speak Spanish, because English is not the required language of the United States of America. Certain places, it's not, I mean, you don't have to. But if you can't speak any English at all, and if you're really just busting the chops of the officers by refusing to speak English, that's just rude. You know what I mean? So at some point, you got to drop the act. But that the only people that would really do that are pretentious white college-educated liberals anyway, who would just be doing it to prove a point. You know, they would just, and then that mask gets revealed real quick, and you rascally kids foil the plan again. For the most part, though, if somebody, ICE goes up to somebody, and they're speaking Spanish, and they don't know any English, and they can't converse, and they won't drop the pretense of only speaking habla español, probably reason to believe they may be here illegally. And the court concluded as much today in their ruling, but also concluding that ICE has a job to do, and ICE has to have certain parameters of suspicion. And yeah, the language can be one of them. Sad to say, but if you don't choose to learn English, you're only making it harder on yourself. I mean, that's just the reality. Is whether or not English is required by law to be spoken in this country, or is our official language or not. It's certainly the unofficial language, and pretty much everybody knows it. Pretty much everybody speaks it. But most importantly, law enforcement speaks it. So it's kind of the thing. In a lot of countries in Europe, for example, they'll speak both. But if you don't know the primary language, it'll be a tell you may be here illegally. You may have overstayed your visa, and it may not work out well for you. That's called common sense. So if you really want to fit in with the locals, if you say you're on the lam, say you are David Banner or Bruce Banner, depending on which iteration of the Incredible Hulk we're talking about, and you are trying to hide out in Brazil because you don't want anyone to know that you are the Hulk, good idea is to speak the language so that they... Because you're already sticking out like a sore thumb, the fact that Dr. Banner is a gringo. I mean, like that's also kind of a big tell right there. He doesn't look like the other people in the village. And then not speaking the local Brazilian or Portuguese or Spanish or whatever it is. Another tell. So if you really want to hide out among the locals, you probably want to learn the language. So it's just not as obvious when they go, this gringo who doesn't speak any Portuguese is hanging out in the village. And by the way, you don't want to make him angry. He doesn't like it, and you wouldn't like it either. So tread carefully. He wears a heart rate monitor. Before, it was cool. I mean, that's the thing. You know, Banner was wearing a heart rate monitor before everybody else started, with the rings and the watches and whatnot. That guy had to. Because he had to make sure he wouldn't turn green. Nowadays, we just do it to look cool, or to maybe get some basic information for our doctor, or to make sure we don't drop dead of a heart attack. But he had to make sure he wouldn't turn into the Hulk. Much more pressing. And you talk about needing a software update if your heart rate is not keeping up with the pace of the machine, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're smashing the Apple Store in because it didn't tell you that you were about to become the Hulk. It's very awkward for everybody. Point is, if you're hiding in this country illegally and you are not an American citizen, or you're not here legally with papers or any sort of a, probably is a good idea for you to learn English so that you can at least have a conversation if you're ever stopped or anything like that, so they don't go, you're not speaking a lick of English, do you? All right, well, why don't you come with me? Let's try to figure out who you are. You have no documentation on you. You have no identification on you whatsoever. You don't speak English, and we may have a problem here. Just like if I was in Germany and I didn't speak German and I had no paper, no identification. Oh, German, you went there. Well, how about France? Is that better? How about France? I don't speak French. I can say fromage. That's it. That's all I can say is cheese. That's it. I can say one word. And I can say wine. I think it's how you say wine. Vino. Vine? Anyway, you get the point. So the court's ruling on this was correct today, obviously. And the other issue about all this, too, is I don't know why the left is putting up so many roadblocks about fighting crime in cities like Chicago. The president says they have to ask us. If they ask us, I'll send help. I just don't know why they won't. I keep asking this every day. You had all these protests over the weekend. First of all, in New York, you had Zoran Mamdani with Bernie Sanders at the Fight the Oligarchy tour in Brooklyn. A sea of white faces. From sea to shining sea of whiteness. College-educated white liberals. That's the Democrat Party's base. And they love socialism. They love all this. In D.C., you had all these protesters over the weekend. Well, again, all white faces, all protesting, how dare you fight crime in our nation's capital? How dare you fight crime? They're not the ones affected by crime. Their neighborhoods are not the ones besieged by crime. In Chicago, same thing. You've got a bunch of white residents yelling and screaming about how we don't want the feds coming in as they go and stay at their very fancy, posh, skyrise apartments, or they drive out of the city after work, or they don't even go into the city because they're working remotely. I don't know why Democrats are blowing it this badly, but they are. They're blowing it so badly when all they have to do is just try to make crime go down. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. And it's what people are looking for. Now, crime in D.C. is down. Anecdotally, it's down. And factually, it's down. That's why the mayor of D.C. extended the order to have the feds there. Why wouldn't she? It's helping her city. She doesn't have to pay for it. And the manpower issue has been resolved. People power issue has been resolved because she had a major manpower issue where they had 2 million hours of mandatory overtime. So the head of the police union over the weekend was saying, this is great. This is great. We don't have to worry now because we actually have the ability to do the job that we as the police are supposed to do because we have a presence of federal law enforcement there so that we can go after the criminals the way we're supposed to. I really don't understand why Democrats keep blowing it in this matter. But they do. Let me play this clip for you. This is from over the weekend. The president shushed a reporter over the question of going to war with Chicago. This is after he posted a meme from the movie Apocalypse Now, in which he took on the famous Robert Duvall character and the famous scene from that movie, which is that smell, that gasoline smell, smells like victory. And he said, Chipocalypse Now. So this is what the president said. This is one of the instances of that. Cut number five.
Are you going to work with Chicago?
You say that, darling. That's fake news.
Well, why would you
go to
Department of Defense?
Listen. Be quiet. Listen. You don't listen. You never listen. That's why you're second rate. We're not going to war. We're going to clean up our city. We're going to clean them up so they don't kill five people every weekend. That's not war. That's common sense.
Six people died over the weekend in Chicago. And another bloody weekend in Chicago. Six people. And if you are going to war, you're going to war with criminals, aren't you? I mean, maybe I'm missing something here, but isn't that who you're going to war with? You're going to war with criminals. Kind of like in The Dark Knight, or The Dark Knight Rises, when they talk about how they got to get rid of Commissioner Gordon because he was a wartime commissioner. Now it's peacetime. But you go to war, it's a saying, and you're going to war with the gangs, you're going to war with the bad guys. You're not going to war with businesses. You're not going to war with people in their lunch break in downtown Chicago having a hot dog. And don't get me wrong, I do love a good Chicago hot dog. But that's not who you're going to war with. If you're using the war analogy, it's not with them. You're doing it against the criminals. And by the way, ICE has launched their Operation Midway Blitz in Illinois. Oh, by the way, 5 o'clock today. Five-ish. We're going to announce our next Politics and Pints event. Really excited for this one. It's going to be a big one, okay? And I think once I announce it, you'll get it. But it's going to be big. And I'm really excited about this because whenever I get a chance to host this particular person, I know it's going to be a great night because we've done it before in the past and it's a lot of fun. So I'll make that announcement around 5 o'clock today. Tune in for that. Trump also went off on the fake news for downplaying the crime in Chicago. He spoke with reporters outside of the White House. Cut number six.
Why? Let me ask you. Yeah. Really higher than Chicago? Excuse me. You know how many people were killed in Chicago last weekend? 8. You know how many people were killed in Chicago the week before? 7. You know how many people were wounded? 74 people were wounded. You think there's worse than that? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's who you'd be going to war with, the people who are doing the shooting and the gang members. That's what you'd be engaged in. So ICE has launched this Operation Midway Blitz. That's what they're doing right now. That's what's happening in Chicago. And the Supreme Court has just paved the way for them to do it in all these cities. What I don't understand, though, is why the Democrats are pushing back on this so badly. They could have the National Guard. They could have all the help of the feds. And I'd be paying for it. You'd be paying for it. If anyone should be annoyed by this, it's us. Theoretically speaking, it's us. I don't live in Chicago. I don't live in the suburbs of Chicago. I don't live in D.C. I don't live in the suburbs of D.C. I don't work in D.C. So if my federal taxpayer dollars are paying for federal law enforcement and the National Guard to help clean up the city, to help fight crime, I'm paying for that. I'm not reaping any benefit from that other than helping my fellow Americans out. That's it. That's the benefit. And our nation's capital is safe. And another major American city is safe. And I can say I'm helping my fellow man for all mankind. That's it. But I'm not upset by it because I think going after criminals is a good thing. I think giving law enforcement the assets it needs to go after criminals is a positive. It's a good thing. But why are the local officials in the cities upset when we're taking the money? It's not going on their books. These people are up to here in terms of short. They've got debt and they've got crime. What they don't have is is lots of extra cash lying around and lots of extra cops hanging out. So somebody comes along and says, we're going to help. And they turn around and say, no. It makes absolutely no sense. And that is the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. With 2 locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, Dr. Mike is the man. And he will give you a free implant consultation. So if you've been putting off getting that complicated implant procedure, stop putting it off and go see Dr. Mike today and get that perfect, perfect smile. Okay? Do that today by going to VenariaDental.com. Meanwhile, in New York City, Eric Adams says Andrew Cuomo is a snake. That's true. He is a snake, in addition to being a nursing home serial killer and, of course, a disgraced LoveGov. But will they get anyone out of the race? It's not looking good. Mandami had his Fight the Oligarchy tour with Bernie Sanders, and the place was packed, a sea of liberal white faces. That's what happened over the weekend from the Defund the Police mayor of New York City. There were 435 ICE detainer requests for criminal illegal aliens that were ignored in Los Angeles County. 435 criminal illegal alien detainers ignored. What does that mean? When we talk about a sanctuary city, let's understand this. A sanctuary city means that ICE has a detainer request because somebody's in the system. They're in your jail. They're a bad guy. And ICE says, hold them for us. We want to pick them up. In a sanctuary city, you say no. And you let the person go free. We're not talking about giving sanctuary to the abuela minding her own business in the apartment. We're not talking about sanctuary in libraries and churches and grocery stores. It sounds nice. It harkens back to times when you could get sanctuary in a church and 1600 France or something like that. But actually what it comes down to is ICE has a detainer hold on somebody and then the local jurisdiction does not cooperate with ICE. Why wouldn't they want to get that scumbag off the streets? Why wouldn't you want to turn him over to ICE? Then he's no longer your problem. He's no longer your problem and you don't have to pay the bills. You don't have to pay the bills. Think about that. Somebody else is picking up that tab. 435 ICE detainer requests for criminal illegal aliens ignored in Los Angeles County alone. That's insane. That's 435 people who are back on the streets who are criminals in Los Angeles, just Los Angeles. Now, if you live there, if you're bothered by crime, well, then you know exactly what I mean when I say that the people who are making these policies are not serving you. They're serving their own lefty agenda. Zoran Mandami just came out and said they want to reduce the jail population in New York City. Reduce the jail population. What does that mean? Does that mean give ankle monitors to people? No. Zoran Mandami believes that criminals are the victims of society, so they believe in letting people go. There is a mindset that has taken over the left in this country right now. And that mindset is criminals are the good guys. And it is the system that is oppressing them and keeping them down. And that's what they want to go after, the system, not the criminal, the system. And if Democrats were smart, they would take a page out of the 1990s playbook. I'm not talking about the Clinton crime bill, but I'm saying at least when their rhetoric said they would go after criminals. And they don't want to do that today. And it's just costing them politically. I think it's going to be devastating them outside of these cities. They might be fine in these cities, but outside of that, I think it's going to be really detrimental for them in the end. I really do. All right, coming up, what did the Supreme Court say today? We'll give you the answer on that a little bit later in the show. We'll announce our next Politics and Pints event. It is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, it's Monday. Another week is here. And a big Supreme Court ruling today, a 6-3 decision regarding deportations in L.A. And it's great because I've not had a chance to read the decision. So luckily, I have one of the brightest minds in all things constitutional law joining us now. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. Will Chamberlain is senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. He's on X at Will Chamberlain, and he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Will, it's great timing. Your timing is impeccable. It's almost like you knew the Supreme Court was going to drop that ruling today. I don't hear Will. Do we have him, Justin? I don't hear him. Okay. All right. In the meantime, I will just let you know we have a guest coming up at 5 o'clock. Not a guest. We do have a guest, Gerald Posner, at 5 o'clock. But we also have a big announcement at 5, in the 5 o'clock hour, right after Gerald probably, of our next Politics and Pints speaker series event. Just as a tease for you to keep listening. All right? And I'll tell you the date and who it's with, where it's going to be, and all the other pertinent details. Also, a little bit later in the show today, Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center will be joining us to talk about all the crazy meltdowns in the media. All right, do we have Will? All right, we'll get him on the phone, no problem. And in the meantime, is that the local story in Philadelphia that has national implications right now has to do with CHOP. And reporting that is being required by the Department of Justice regarding children who have been treated for, quote unquote, gender dysmorphia. In other words, transgender children. And the Justice Department now is investigating medical practitioners, hospitals, and all these other entities who really engaged in child abuse. And the question is whether or not these patient records can be turned over to the Department of Justice or not. And we will have that conversation with Gerald Posner later today, and we'll find out whether this is an invasion of their privacy as patients under HIPAA, or whether or not this is the government doing its job and going after child abusers who preyed on these children, the most vulnerable children, and their parents who went along with it as well. All right, let's bring up Will Chamberlain right now, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. Will, thanks for joining us today after the big Supreme Court announcement. I appreciate it. How you doing?
Doing great, Rich. Good to be with you.
Have you had a chance to look at the Supreme Court's decision today, 6-3?
Yep. Yeah, I read, or I wouldn't say I fully read it, but at least I understand the basic holdings.
All right, great. Excellent. So give it to us in a nutshell what the majority ruled in this case and what the case was really about.
All right. So the case is about this really unbelievably broad injunction that a district court judge in Los Angeles imposed on ICE, basically massively restricting their ability to even stop people and ask them whether or not they were citizens. She identified four grounds, she said, that didn't constitute reasonable suspicion, either individually or in combination, and therefore that people, that ICE was not allowed to make stops on these bases. So the holding, I mean, there wasn't actually a holding, I should be clear. There was just six judges who stayed this district court's injunction. But Judge Kavanaugh, Justice Kavanaugh, rather, in a concurrence, explained there are two basic problems with it legally. The first is that the plaintiffs didn't have standing. The plaintiffs were people who had previously been stopped, but they were asking for an injunction that says, well, you know, you need to stop ICE from engaging in this behavior in the future because I don't want to be harassed by police in the future. And the court said, well, you don't have standing. You don't, just because you were previously had an interaction with police doesn't mean you're likely to have one in the future. And so the harm is not specific to you, and therefore it's not individualized enough to create standing for a lawsuit. And then the second big piece of Justice Kavanaugh's opinion was pointing out that and I think the best part of it was pointing out that this district court judge's injunction stood in the face of years of Supreme Court precedent about what constitutes reasonable suspicion for immigration stops. Basically, reasonable suspicion is a totality of the circumstances analysis. I mean, you can't just put these arbitrary restrictions on what factors you're allowed to look at. A police officer is allowed to use his read on the situation. Given some of these facts, I think there was a reasonable chance this person was in the country illegally. And so the sort of attempt to create a blanket rule about what you're not allowed to take into account as a police officer would fail legally, according to Justice Kavanaugh's analysis.
And that's based on Supreme Court precedent. So this isn't the court just coming up with this on their own, you're saying.
Yeah, no, this is a longstanding, this isn't just one case either. It's a whole line of cases discussing reasonable suspicion in the context of immigration stops. And I mean, it really was bizarre that this district court judge thought she could impose an injunction like this. It was basically a judicial micromanagement of the most basic law enforcement activity there is, which is stopping people if you suspect they might either have committed a crime or stopping people if you suspect they're in the country illegally.
I saw in Justice Sonia Sotomayor's dissent, she was crying about how un-American this is. And one of the things she was saying was police should not be able to stop somebody who doesn't speak the language or something to that effect. But wouldn't that kind of be a red flag in any country around the world if you can't communicate that would be reason to think that maybe you're in the country illegally?
Right. And I think that merely the speaking of Spanish individually isn't usually reasonable suspicion anyway. Most cops aren't stopping on that basis. But one of the things that this court opinion did says, you know, one of the there were a few of the factors that, you know, were not enough on their own or in combination. And one of them would be speaking Spanish in the parking lot of a Home Depot. It's like, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, a group of people milling around speaking Spanish in the parking lot of a Home Depot is a basis for reasonable suspicion that some of them are in the country illegally. Because as anybody who's in California knows, that's normally where illegal labor congregates in order to get hired as day laborers. I don't know if that's true or anywhere else, but it's certainly true in California. So the fact that the judge was sort of basically suggesting that the thing that everybody knows to be true about how illegal labor gets hired in California is not a basis for even a cop to have reasonable suspicion. That's not probable cause. That's a far more, far lower standard, far easier to meet standard. And it was really a bizarre ruling for the district judge. And it's really important that it finally got lifted by the Supreme Court because it means that ICE agents in Southern California can really just go back to doing their jobs.
What about this issue, Will Chamberlain, of somebody being brown?
Again, same analysis applies, right? you know, it's a factor that in the Supreme Court's analysis would be one of the factors that could add up to reasonable suspicion, right? Part of, I mean, if the officer thinks that, like, your race in conjunction with other factors creates a suspicion that you aren't in the country legally, they're allowed to stop you. That's the whole point of the Supreme Court's holding.
Because it's just when you kind of cherry pick this stuff and you listen to Sotomayor and these others, you would have to believe that ICE is going around seeing somebody with dark skin and then just pulling them off the streets. Now, I've not seen any evidence of that happening. I keep hearing the media say it's happening, but I haven't actually seen any evidence that that's happening. But we keep hearing the fear-mongering of that. But let's assume for the sake of argument that occurred. And you just picked up somebody because of the basis of the color of their skin who was minding their own business and doing nothing wrong, and they just were picked up and dragged away somewhere. Like, in that hypothetical, ridiculous scenario, what happens then?
Well, that person would have a civil rights complaint against the police department and could potentially get damages, right, if they were wrongfully apprehended and wrongfully detained and taken away, right? That, so, you know, if there was no basis for the stop, then you'd have a normal civil rights lawsuit against the police department that they could win money off of. But again, it's not clear why they would ever have standing to seek an injunction against the police department to stop them from making similar stops in the future, because there's no reason to expect that they would be apprehended in such a stop, given that it's a random occurrence.
Will Chamberlain's with us. Article 3 Project. He's on X at Will Chamberlain. Will, regarding the National Guard, I mean, there's two factors here. The one is this idea that the Democrats are just politically stupid as usual, you know, not using the help that's being offered by the feds to crack down on crime in cities that are being besieged by crime. The second is the legal issue here. And are there any legal issues that I know the president again today reiterated, hey, Chicago should ask us for help and I'll send in the guard. Is that the best course of action, you think? Wait for them to ask?
I mean, I think you have to be, you know, I mean, you want to make sure that you have a good legal grounding before you send in the guard. In Los Angeles, it was easy because you had plenty of demonstrations of the fact that Antifa and others were inhibiting the operations of federal law enforcement. Like, they were throwing projectiles at ICE officers. They were just getting in their way. They were doing all sorts of things to interfere with federal law enforcement. And there's just a clear statutory authority for the president to mobilize the National Guard to protect federal law enforcement. So they can do their jobs. In Chicago, I mean, I would say that it's just really a question of, does President Trump feel like the necessary predicate has been met to activate the National Guard? Is federal law enforcement under threat, et cetera? Because he can't really activate the National Guard just to do law enforcement independently, doubling up on local and state law enforcement. There needs to be a federal interest.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're violating what, posse comitatus? Would that be basically what you're talking about?
I think that's right. I'm not sure if it's posse comitatus or some other statute, because I'm not sure that applies to the National Guard off the top of my head. So I don't know. Not an expert on the specifics of posse comitatus, so I don't want to go too far on the brand.
No, totally understandable. Again, it's just another term that we haven't heard really since The West Wing was on the air, but it's been thrown around a lot in the last couple of weeks. So Will Chamberlain, the president has authority if federal law enforcement being stopped from doing their job, he can send in the National Guard to ensure that federal law enforcement can do their job. In the case of D.C., I mean, it's pretty clear D.C.'s not only they have jurisdiction over D.C. under the Home Rule Charter Act, but here the mayor wants the help. I mean, she's smart enough to recognize that, hey, somebody's picking up the tab here and sending you manpower, so take the help. But politically, just the Democrats' refusal to go along with this, when you have more murders and more people who are hurt, it's just so catastrophically politically stupid.
Yeah, I mean, in D.C. is even a stronger case. It's not just the fact that the D.C. Code gives the president some authority. It's the Constitution that gives the president that authority, because the Constitution creates the district as a federal district subject to Congress's supervision and Congress's legislation. And anything that's subject to Congress's legislation is also subject to the president's executive power, because the Congress doesn't get to execute any of the laws they write on their own. So it's really, you know, a really straightforward thing. But I think somebody, I don't know who wrote the article this week, but somebody pointed out that Trump has a really magical ability to get people to get Democrats on the wrong side of 80-20 issues, and to get them to really, you know, plant their flag on the wrong side of 80-20 issues. And this is a classic example. Everybody hates crime, and to the extent most D.C. residents probably approve of what's going on, and to the extent they don't, who cares? The Capitol belongs to all Americans. All Americans pay taxes to the federal government. Lots of them. We all have a right to a Capitol that's a model for city on a hill, that is a great place to take our kids to go see museums, to enjoy. And so it's not like any other random city in this country where the locals have much more of a stake. I'd say that D.C. is the one city in this country that every American has a stake in, and every American has a right to insist on its safety.
Last question for you, Will Chamberlain. Have you personally noticed a difference in crime in D.C.?
Yeah, I was just there last week for the National Conservatism Conference, and it felt like a completely different city from when I had been there in 2021, 2022. I felt really safe. There was the occasional ne'er-do-well near the subway station, but then I saw like 10 police officers of different federal law enforcement agencies there. And it was just really clear that federal law enforcement was on top of the law, and that, you know, things were running a lot more smoothly.
But nobody was stopping people and asking to see their MAGA hat. There were any checks on that or anything like that?
No. But just a lot of law enforcement on the street, and therefore a lot fewer. It just felt much safer to just be walking on the street.
Will Chamberlain, follow him on X at Will Chamberlain and check out the Article 3 project. Thanks, my friend. I appreciate it.
Happy to do it.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along here today, talking about lots of different issues, and again, we'll have our big politics and pints announcement a little bit after 5 o'clock today. I want to talk about Dr. Mike Veneria and why he's my family's dentist. And what it comes down to is compassion. Compassion and care. These chain dental offices out there and these pop-up dental offices, they're about cost. Dr. Mike is about care, and that's why for 12 consecutive years, other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike. That's right. Other dentists have sent their patients to Dr. Mike for the really complicated stuff. The experts call Dr. Mike the expert, and they send him the really complicated cases. So now put yourself in those shoes. You need to have complex dental work done. You're going to go to just any old dentist? You're going to go to the closest dentist? Or you're going to go to the best, the guy that is known as the expert? Of course you're going to go to the best. That's Dr. Mike Veneria. And he may be the closest dentist because he has two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, and both are right over the bridge. But even if you don't, even if you got to drive, even if it's worth the trip, believe me, because my whole family goes to Dr. Mike, and Bridget just got a beautiful new smile from Dr. Mike last year. Now, she always had a beautiful smile, but her veneers needed to be replaced, and Dr. Mike gave her new caps, and her smile has never looked better. And, of course, Mama Zeoli discovered Dr. Mike for our family, and we are all patients, myself included, and my kids, of Dr. Mike Veneria. He's a great guy, great conversationalist, great music playing in the office, and there's great people who work with him and for him. So you'll be in great hands with the expert that the experts say is the best of the best, 12 years in a row. That's my dentist, my friend, and the undisputed master of dental implants. So get your free implant consultation today with Dr. Mike Veneria, veneriadental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. It's Monday. Another week is upon us. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it. And appreciate you joining us, as we always appreciate you joining us. So 5 o'clock-ish, we will do our Politics and Pints announcement. Tell you who's coming in town and how you can get your tickets to join us for that. All right. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll do it then. All right. So now, the question is, should they have delayed the Eagles game the other night? Here's Bill Maher, cut 17, Justin, on the Eagles-Cowboys rain delay, saying football should be played in the rain He was talking with Stephen Moore and Caitlin Collins. Take a listen.
Rain delay at yesterday's football game. Oh, don't get me started.
I can't believe it. Football should be played in the rain.
I agree. This is safetyism. This is a part of the health discussion we were having, I think, that everybody has to be safe completely at all times. Yeah. Football, that's the great thing about football.
I'm with you.
We
totally
play it whenever, wherever.
Thank
There's
you.
No stopping it. And then the crowd, oh, there could be lightning. Of course, it's rain. There always could be lightning. They stopped the game for an hour.
Subject. Can I tell you what else I hate? No more building dome stadium. Football should be played outside.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Come on. Baseball. Yeah, look, I'm a Chicagoan. We played in Wrigley Field and Soldier Field when it's 10 degrees below zero, Bill.
I don't know about that one. When it's like Alabama in August and September and kickoff, it's
okay,
hot.
But what about, you know, canceling the game for an hour because there could be lightning? I heard them now. Please get to safety. Get to safety. Like a meteor was heading for the stadium. What a...
That is kind of what it was like. Get to safety. I'll just say this. In Madden, you're allowed to pick rain as one of the settings to play football in. Is that not a thing anymore? I think it's not just the rain. It was the lightning and the thunder, right, Justin? That was what the issue was.
Yeah, the issue was because of how close lightning strikes were in conjunction to how close they were to Lincoln Financial.
I mean, we were up in the top row. You could see the lightning.
Yeah, even during the NBC broadcast, you could see like the giant bolts of lightning just like it looked like it was in Center City.
I was happy to stay, though, and wrap myself in aluminum foil and take my chances. But I think the real issue comes down to liability. I'm sure your ticket waiver probably says you're going to get struck by lightning anyway. But it's probably more about that. And I'm sure a lot of these players probably have it in their contract that they can't get struck by lightning nowadays. I'm guessing. I don't know. It's probably a lightning waiver.
But I mean, like, they talk about that, but there was a soccer player that was killed last year by when lightning struck the field and injured several other players on a team.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, in Peru.
Well, it's Peru.
It's Peru, but
yeah, there are lawyers in Peru.
Back in 1998, I know I'm going 27 years back. A bolt of lightning struck the field and killed one in the entirety of one of two teams playing on the field.
Wow. Well, you get a large cash settlement if that happens. You know what I mean? Now, as for a dome stadium, I'm all about the dome. I love the dome. I'm a big believer. And if you can fight the elements, fight the elements. Why not? You could recreate it. You can make a wave pool on the field, as far as I'm concerned. You should be able to turn it into a snowy event, just like Madden. You should be able to select your circumstances. But as a fan, I want to be comfortable. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be hot. I don't want to, you know what I mean? I'm a baby like that. That's me.
I like not having a dome. I think there's compromise where you can have a retractable dome like
that's
most
what you
stadiums do now. Because playing in the cold is one of the advantages we get as a home team when we're doing good in the playoffs. You get a team like Detroit who plays in a dome. They're not used to the cold despite it being absolutely freezing in Detroit in the winter. And then they're in their 70-degree dome the entire year. You bring them out to the 20 degrees tundra in Philadelphia, and all of a sudden they bottle up like they did in the playoffs this past year.
You're right. I take it back. Screw the dome. I take it all back. You educated me. Although to get the Super Bowl, you probably need a dome.
That's what the retractable dome's for. You get the retractable dome, you can keep it open for the Birds games. But if you want to have big, important events like the Super Bowl, bring the dome in, and there you go. That's
there
your
you
compromise.
Go. At a cost of $10 billion.
Who's counting?
It's a bargain. All right, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, the latest meltdown in the media. We'll talk about it with our buddy Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center. Will we ever find out the truth behind Philadelphia Karen, Philly's Karen? And the president now has the green light to use the National Guard in Chicago if Chicago asks him. But they have to ask him. Will they ask him? Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.